this morning. We had a great day yesterday as the boys gathered for breakfast. I want to thank Pastor Darrell for organising that, all the boys that cooked and organised and did everything they did. Why don't you give them a big hand? Just good for the guys to get together in church world. If you weren't here, you missed it. I'm so smart. If you weren't here, you missed it. You totally missed out. It's just such a good day. And make sure you're aware of what we're doing with our men's and our women's events and youth and children's and mums and bubs and everything that we do in church life. Make sure you're up to speed with what's going on around church world, because there's a lot happening, particularly at the start of the year. This is a busy service, this one today. It's one of my favourite services throughout the entire year. We call it our anointing service, where we get to pray and anoint people with oil, which is a biblical practice, and I'm going to explain through that a little bit for you today. And particularly if you're a new person with us today, I'd just like you to relax and make yourself at home. Pretend like you've been here forever. Just pretend that. We want to welcome you today. We don't want to weird you out by any means. We want you to be very, very comfortable. So I'm going to explain what we're doing this morning. You don't have to be prayed for if you don't want to be prayed for, but I kind of figure, why would you resist that? Why would you resist having someone pray for you? And so we're going to give you an opportunity to be prayed for at the conclusion of the service today. The thought we have, and it's been shared several times this morning already, is this whole concept of refresh. We've just come through 3 days of prayer and fasting. How'd you go with that?
Yeah, good.
Did you enjoy that? Yeah, not really. No, I don't find the fasting part really easy at all. But 3 days is okay. It's not too difficult. And the whole thought around that was, it's just a time to refresh. Del Ryan, congratulations on 50 years of marriage. Speaking of refresh, what a good deal. Give it up for Del. Well done, Del. You are a legend, you and your hubby, and God bless you as you enter your 51st year. Refresh. It's a good thought, isn't it? Refresh. And while we were praying and fasting, our thought and our prayer and our heart has been, God, would you just refresh us? We've approached it this way this year with this particular thought for all of our ministries, everything we're doing in church life. Our team got together and we just freshened up a few things that we do, and we're going to talk to you about that on Vision Sunday, which is just coming up in a few weeks' time, because we want to start the year fresh. We want to start the year fresh. We want our church to be fresh in everything that we do. So with that thought, let me throw a really heavy scripture at you. It's Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, now turn from your sins. Turn to your neighbor and say, repent. It's a big word. It's a Bible word. It's an old word, but it's still a good word. It's an old word, but it's still a good word. It's a never-ending truth. To repent, it simply means to turn from your sins and turn to God. It's recorded in Acts chapter 3 as a conversation or a sermon that Peter was preaching to the people that were gathered there that day. And he said to them, now turn from your sins and turn to God. If you're going to turn from something, you've got to have something to turn to. And here he says, turn away from your sins. Turn away from what's not serving you well. Turn away from what is bringing destruction and destructive thoughts to your world, your life, your relationships, every aspect of life. And he says, turn to God. Turn to God. Embrace God. And he says, so that you will be cleansed from your sins. Here's the good news about what Jesus Christ has done for every single person, for every one of us who believes in him, that when we turn from our sins and we turn to God, God draws near to us and he cleanses us from our sins. So I am looking at and I am speaking to on camera today a whole bunch of people that have turned from their sins, that have turned to God and have been cleansed from their sins. Aren't you glad about that today? Aren't you glad about the fact that God has forgiven you of your sins? And the next verse is the one I particularly wanted to focus on for a moment. Verse 20 says, then wonderful times of refreshment will come. Wonderful times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. I love refreshments, don't you? I love refreshments. I love refreshment for me speaks of replenishment. It speaks of food. It speaks of something that will fill me. It speaks of something that will cleanse me. It speaks of something that will prepare me for what God wants to do in me and through me. You know, the truth and the reality for every one of us is that when we are refreshed by the presence of the Lord, when these wonderful times of refreshment come, souls are refreshed, spirits are refreshed, minds are refreshed, relationships are refreshed, faith is refreshed, purpose is refreshed, calling is refreshed. Everything about us is refreshed when we draw near to God and turn away from our sins. How many people in the room want to be refreshed today?
Yeah.
Want to be made fresh today? You know, if you've got some old leather and you've got some old boots, what you do with that is you rub in some oil, don't you? You rub in some oil, some leather care, a product to freshen up the leather. And it's like the leather just breathes again. It just comes to life again. It's just restored again. You know, sometimes we find ourselves like that old piece of leather. Look at your neighbor right now. Yeah, we do. We find ourselves like that old piece of leather that could do with a little bit of replenishment, a little bit of restoration, a little bit of product. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need some product. There's a hidden message in that. You need some product today. You need God to just freshen you up a little. You look better when you're fresh. When you freshen up, you look better. You know, when you get up in the morning and you have a shower, like the Bible speaks about the Word of God being like water for us that washes us and cleanses us. You know, we're going to pray for you at the end of the service, but I want to tell you, even right now, the Holy Spirit, God is starting to move in this place right now and bringing refreshment to you before we even pray for you. Before we even pray for you, God is starting to do that. We want to turn our hearts towards God today and ask Him to refresh us. Psalm 23, probably one of the most famous psalms in all the Bible, starts with this. The Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful you have a shepherd? Thankful, because sheep without a shepherd are lost. We have a shepherd. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just close your eyes for a moment. Green pastures. There's something about green pastures. There's something about getting out among nature. There's something about being out in the trees and, you know, out in the valleys and the lushness of it. It relaxes the soul. And here the psalmist says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You can open your eyes. I don't want you sleeping. He leads me beside quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. Listen to this verse. He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. God is a God that refreshes. He's a God that refreshes. He's a God that brings wonderful times of refreshment. If we're lacking refreshment, we just need to turn to Him. We need to turn to Him. We need to come to Him. We need to lean into Him. We need to come towards God in our posture, in our hearts, in our attitudes, in every way. David goes on to say in Psalm 23, you anoint my head with oil. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to anoint your head with oil. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to anoint people's heads with oil when they were travelers. And if they came to your home, because that's how it worked in the old days. When people came to a city, they would like knock on your door because they didn't have motels and that to go to. They didn't have Airbnbs. Everyone's place was a B&B. And so they'd knock on your door. And the Bible gave instructions about how they were to welcome in strangers. And so when these strangers came in from the desert, from their journey, because they didn't have freeways like we have, when they came in, and their feet are all dirty and dusty and they're dry and they're dehydrated, the Bible gave instructions that they were to anoint them with oil, because it just brings a freshness and a glow to the face of a person. And I think it's kind of symbolic of what God does when we know that we're anointed by God and we're marked by God, and literally the Holy Spirit walks with us and lives in us and abides with us. There's a freshness and there's a glow about you. There's a shine about every one of us when we walk that way. The psalmist says, my cup overflows, and surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, in terms of the anointing, they would anoint places, like special places. If a special thing happened at a place, they'd gather a bunch of stones together, they'd build an altar, and they would anoint it as a place where they met with God. They would anoint people, like the priest and the Levites were literally anointed. Kings were anointed. They had oil poured over their head as a sign that they were marked and set aside for that purpose of authority and ruling and recognition among the children of Israel. They would also anoint things like instruments, anything to be used in the temple or the tabernacle. The places of worship were to be anointed as special. They were not to be used for ordinary purposes. They were used for special purposes for God. So the Old Testament, it's about people and things and places having literally oil placed on them. In the New Testament, when we speak of the anointing in the New Testament, the anointing is spoken of as something that Jesus brings into our hearts and seals, marks our hearts with the Holy Spirit, which is the marking that we belong to Him. And so the anointing is something that identifies us as a believer. The anointing in the New Testament is identified as something that the Holy Spirit does internally, where the Holy Spirit's anointing us for a specific task, to do something for God in the overall plan of God. And so to anoint, and the anointing means many varied things. To anoint with oil, as we're going to do today, literally means to be marked by God, dedicated and consecrated unto Him. It's a marking. And it's a marking not so that God will remember, but that you will remember. Yeah. I'm marked by God. And so we do it every year as a church. We love doing it as a team and praying with people, having people be given the opportunity to just let heaven know, God, I want to be marked by you. I want to be filled by your Holy Spirit. I want to be aware that I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, that my life is full of purpose and there is a plan for my life. And I'd love you to know today that every single one of us are anointed by God for the purpose that we live in life. You're not anointed because you're a preacher. You can be anointed because you're a physician. You can be anointed because you're a truck driver. You can be anointed as a mother or a father. Whatever your role is in life, I want you to know you're marked by God, you're marked for God, you are in that place and that space to represent heaven, and there is a calling that God has ordained in that. If you're a teacher today, you're marked by God for that. That's what God has placed on you to do. If you're a tradie, you're a tradie today, and God has marked you for that, and He has anointed you in that area of your life. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul puts it this way. He says, God has made us what we are. God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God has made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. There's a whole lot of good work that God has planned for you and I to do. So some simple thoughts I want to share before we pray for you today. When God appoints us, when God appoints me, He anoints me. God never appoints anyone without anointing them. That anointing says they're set aside, they're marked, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what they are called to do in this life. So that God just doesn't tell us what to do. He empowers us to do it. He empowers us to do what we're called to do. So He empowers us to do good things. Here's a great verse for Pentecostal believers, which is what we are. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. But listen to this verse. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's telling us what the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. It's so that we would be empowered to go out and represent Jesus well. To go out and represent Jesus well. Literally, that we would not make the baptism in the Holy Spirit about a feeling. It's more about a doing. Some have made it about a feeling, and when they don't feel it anymore, they think they've lost the Holy Spirit. Can I just say to everyone in the room, you don't lose, you can't lose, you can't lose God.
Yes.
God's not that insecure. He's not that small. We are. We are insecure. We are small. And so we think we lose God. You don't lose God. God is on you. God is in you. God is working through you, every one of us, so that we would do good. We would do good in this world. And the truth is, when you don't do, you don't feel. You know, when I do good, I feel good. When I do good things, I feel good. I feel good. And so many are waiting for the feeling before they go to the doing. We got it the wrong way around. You've got to be more into the doing. And as you're doing, you get the feeling. You get the feeling of the Holy Spirit being with you. You get the feeling of the Holy Spirit having purpose in that God moment that just happened, where you rescued somebody, where you came to somebody's assistance, where you helped somebody and did something good. So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, don't make it about the feeling. Make it about the function. It's not about the feels. It's about the deal. It's about what you're going to do with this Holy Spirit that is on you and is in you. God has anointed you for a purpose to make a difference. Secondly, I love this, God's anointing makes me a better person. God's anointing makes me a better person. 1 Samuel 10:16, it talks about the anointing of the king, of King Saul. And Samuel the prophet says to Saul, God has anointed you to be the leader of his people. God's spirit will come on you in power, and you'll speak like a prophet, and you'll be changed into a different person. You know, I believe there's a real sense where when the Holy Spirit's working in our lives and on our hearts and on our minds, and we're cooperating with him, we're aligned with his purpose, we're aligned with his plan, we literally become a different person. We become a different person. The Bible says that about us. When we come to Christ, everything is changed. All the old things are passed away. And behold, everything becomes new. Everything becomes new. Have you ever been an obnoxious Christian?
Yeah.
Eyes straight ahead right now. Have you ever met one? It's an oxymoron to say those two things in the same sentence. Obnoxious Christian. Because the truth is, the Holy Spirit wants to change the sense of obnoxiousness that there may be in our hearts sometimes. See, God wants to make us better people. This is what the anointing does. It'll make you a better person. You can't love God and treat people badly. You can't do that. You can't love God and treat people badly. You can't love God and honor God and dishonor authority and dishonor leadership. You can't love God and behave rudely and disrespectfully, respectfully to people, individuals, or authorities. You can't love God and be obnoxious and arrogant. You can't carry the Holy Spirit and treat others in an unholy way. God's anointing changes us and makes us better people. That's what the anointing does. Who in the room wants to be made a better person? We want to be made a better person. We do. We want to be better people. We want to be better people. And we want to go about doing good, and we want to go about being good. And that's what the anointing helps us to do. God's anointing also makes difficult tasks easier. You know, I've been a church leader for a long, long time now, decades now, and what I've found is I can either do it my way or I can do it God's way. When I do it my way, it's a hard way. When I do it God's way, it's a little bit easier. When I cooperate and do it God's way, he helps me. When I do it God's way, others get on board with me. When I do it my way, I'm a lone ranger. When I do it my way, it's challenging. And so send my way to the highway and go God's way is my thought for all of us today, because we're not called to do this journey, this life. You're not called to be a dad or a mum. You're not called to be a teacher or a preacher. You're not called to be a truck driver, a train driver, a pilot, whatever your job and career and calling might be. You're not called to do it in your own strength. Bring God on board. on board with God. Partner with God more and more. And more that you partner with God, the easier you will find things to do. And it's because of this reason. Ephesians 3:16 says, from his unlimited resources. I love this thought about God. From his unlimited anyone in the room have unlimited resources? Every resource you have is limited. Your time is limited. You are 1 second closer to death right now. You're now 30 seconds closer. Time is limited. Money is limited. Everything. My voice is limited. Everything we have is a limited resource. But it says God will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. So the thought is God is unlimited. I am limited. My understanding is limited. My knowledge is limited. My energy is limited. My creativity is limited. My talent is limited. My resource is limited. And so in my limited state, I need an unlimited God. I need an unlimited God to pour his mighty strength into me. That's why I want to be more aware of him, more aware of his presence, more aware of his calling, more aware of his spirit on my life, more aware of the anointing of God that's there to empower me to do what I do and to be who I be. And every one of us need to pray it that way and see it that way. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, whether I have plenty or whether I have little, I can live content because I can live no matter what my circumstance or situation might be because Christ gives me strength. Some of us need to hear that today because some of us are in the, I don't have much at the moment. I'm in the I don't have much pool. I'm in the I don't have much zone. I don't have much energy. I don't have much faith. I don't have much money. I don't have much opportunity. I don't have much at all. I'm in the lack. And when you're in that area, you really need to know that God's strength is all you need. God's strength is there for you to get you moving forward and moving on in life. The thing I love about this verse is this word. Christ. You know, Christ is not Jesus's last name. It's not his last name. Like, my name is Tony Sorry. Sorry being my surname, Tony being my Christian name. Jesus Christ, Jesus is his first name, Christian name, but his surname is not Christ. Christ literally means the anointed one. So here Paul says, I can do everything with the help of the Anointed One who gives me the strength I need. I want you to know there's an Anointed One when you don't feel anointed. Yes. I don't know whether you've ever felt not anointed to do what you do and to be who you be. I've certainly felt that. I felt times when I don't know God. And then this verse encourages me greatly. I can do all things through the Anointed One who anoints me. I can do all things through the Anointed One who anoints me and gives me the power to do life well. What else does the anointing do? God's anointing makes the impossible possible. It makes the impossible possible. There are some things that are just impossible. It's impossible for me to change that thing. It's impossible for me to achieve that thing. It's impossible for me to carry out certain dreams that I feel God wants me to. I need his help. We all need his help. God's anointing makes the impossible possible. In actual fact, this is what God specializes in. Luke 18 says, what is impossible for men is possible with God. What is impossible for men is possible with God. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 3:20. God's power at work within us is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask for or to even imagine. So here's my encouragement for this year. Don't be afraid to ask big. Ask big, to dream big, to imagine big, to believe big for your life, for your world, for your home, for your family, for a home, for a job, a career, a opportunity, your business, whatever it might be, for your faith, for your church. Let's not think small for the church. Let's not think small for the church. Bruce came up to me before with Crowded House on his shirt, which is in reference to a great band that all those of my era would well and truly know. But he said, my prayer is a crowded house for this place. That's my prayer. I pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. God, crowded house. God, fill the house. God, just do great things through your people in this church, in the church down the road, in the church in the next neighborhood, in every church in our city. This city is not about this church. This church is about this city, and it's about every other church in this city, to see God do great things. Turn to your neighbor and say, think big. Come on, think big. Think big. Upsize. You know when you go to a restaurant and you have the choice between the little meal and the big meal? Most of us go the big meal. I do every time, obviously. I'm buying the little meal. I'm going to upsize that. You drive through McDonald's. Would you like to upsize that? Of course. Why do you ask? Why do you upsize life? Why do you upsize faith? Why do you upsize who you are? Why don't you upsize the opportunities that God would bring into your world by believing for more and by doing what God has already asked you to do? That's how it works in a natural family. You reward your children for what they do when they have been asked to do something. And the key to greater opportunity and greater blessing and greater favor and greater prosperity for a child in a home when it comes to pocket money is, have you picked up your socks? Have you packed the dishwasher? Have you done this? Have you done that? And if they haven't done this or done that, there's not blessing and favor given to them. There's a talking to. There's an adjustment that is brought. God the Father is no different. I often say to people, have you done the last thing God asked you to do? Because so many are looking for the next thing. It's not about the next thing, it's about the last thing. Have you done that? Because when you've done that, we can move on to the next thing. You're not ready for the next thing until you've done the last thing. Have you done the last thing? Oh, gee, it got hot in this room really quickly. I think this is my last thought, so you can start to cheer. God anoints my life to bless others. This is what the anointing does. He anoints my life to be a blessing to others. He anoints my life so my life can be poured out in service of others, to help others, to bring a blessing into other people's lives. Jesus's life was lived like this. He had a particular calling, and this is it in Luke 14, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, just like the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know, if the Holy Spirit is on you, and if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's in you and he's on you so that you can go around doing good. You can do good. You can be that representative that God wants you to be. You can be that witness that God wants you to be. Wherever you go, whatever space God takes you in life, you are anointed for purpose. There's an anointing on you to help other people when they're in pain, when they're in trouble, when they're hurting. There's an anointing on us to help people recover from the issues of life. There's an anointing on us to bring blessing into people's worlds, on us corporately as a church and on us individually as people. There's an anointing to help people that are lost. There's an anointing to help people that are broken. There's an anointing to help people that are lonely. There's an anointing to help the brokenhearted. There's an anointing on us to help people. To help people is our calling. It's the same calling that Jesus had. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news to people, setting them free and helping them move their lives forward. We are exactly the same. And when we live that way, when we live empowered to do good, when we live knowing that I have a purpose, and that is to align with the plan of God to bring the good news to people and to do good in people's worlds and in people's lives, what happens is we attract the favor of God. We attract the favor of God in terms of the presence of God, the providence of God on our lives, the provision of God around our world to help us do what we do. Acts 10:38 says this about Jesus. And it says, and you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Now stop there. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to do what? It says he went about doing good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When the Holy Spirit's on you, it's on you, he's on you and in you for a purpose that's to do good, to help people and to set people free. To set people free. See, there's a lot of people in our world that don't know they need to be set free spiritually, but they do know they need to be set free from debt. They need to be set free from addiction. They need to be set free from relationships that are destructive, that are bringing increased brokenness into their future. They need to be set free by natural things. And so Jesus went around helping people naturally and then also helping them spiritually. Oftentimes you can't help people spiritually until you've helped them naturally. Yeah. Do good. Yeah. Do good. That's what the Holy Spirit is on us for. My last thought, I thought the last thought was my last thought, but this really is my last thought. For every new challenge, every new moment, every new season, every new difficulty, every new thing that comes into your life, we need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh anointing. The anointing I had 10 years ago, it's not going to sustain me today. It's not going to keep me going today. I need more oil. It's like my car. If I don't put fresh oil in it, if I don't have an oil change, that oil is going to get burnt up. It's going to affect my engine, my motor. It's probably going to heat up. It's probably going to blow up. And this is what happens to a lot of believers. They heat up. You ever seen a heated up Christian? Come on. You ever seen a hothead? You ever seen a motor blow in a Christian? They blow a piston, comes straight out of their head, going off about things. What they need is an oil change. What they need is fresh oil. What they need, like the Bible talks about old wineskins. Old wineskins are old and they're cracked and they don't hold the wine. And it's because they haven't had the oil rubbed into them. Haven't had the oil applied to them. When you rub it in and you apply it, it keeps it subtle. You know the best thing some of us could do is just rub some oil into ourselves. I'm not talking literal. Well, maybe that would help. Just in terms of oil representing God's presence, representing the Holy Spirit. Let God get close to you. You know, when we let God get close to our heart and we welcome him into our heart, like the Bible says, when we draw near to God, he runs away from us. Isn't that what it says? When we draw near to God, he takes off. See, God doesn't do what some people do. You've tried to draw near to some people. Have you ever tried to draw near to someone and they've drawn away from you? You ever tried to draw near to someone and they've repelled you, they've repulsed you, they've ghosted you? They ghosted you. Ever been ghosted? Ever been ghosted? You sent that text, you made that call, they didn't call you back. You thought you were friends, you found out you weren't. God will never do that to you. He says, you just call out my name and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. To see you again? To see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you gotta do is call. I'll be there. Yes, I will. You got a friend. Oh, so much God wants to do for us. There's so much God wants to bring into our hearts and our world and our lives. The anointing is not something to fear. The anointing is literally a person. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit's not weird. Not at all. People are. I've never had a moment with God that I felt was weird. But I've had plenty of moments with people that was... That was crazy what their conversation was. That language they're talking, it's like bizarre. God wants to anoint you today. He wants you to know you're anointed. We want to pray for you today, and we're going to take a moment in a few moments to pray for everybody in the room today. This is literally what we're going to do. We're going to do it like they did in the Old Testament. We're going to have our pastoral team come out the front in a few moments' time. So we'll have four stations of prayer. We're going to have little bottles of oil, and we're going to just place a little bit of oil on your forehead. That's all we're going to do, just a little bit of oil. Then we're going to pray for you. It's a touch point. That's what it is. It's a touch point. You know, there are moments in life sometimes where you need a touch point. You need an identification. Like, literally, that anointing means I'm marked. It's for you to go out of here today knowing, God, I'm marked for you. I have presented myself. I am dedicated to you. I'm consecrated to you. I belong to you. My heart is sealed by the Holy Spirit, which is my guarantee of belonging to you. I want to know that. But more than the physical act of the oil, I want also to very much to be aware that I'm full of God. I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm full of purpose. I'm going to live His plan. I'm not living my plan. I'm living God's plan. My plan is aligned with God's plan in every way. The plans I make will be plans that are lined up with the plan and the purpose of God for my life. And so it encompasses all of that. And so we'll be praying for that for you today. We're going to have our service team in a few moments take up their positions, and what they're going to do is show you row by row, just give you an invitation to come out and stand in front of any one of the four. Now, can I just say, it doesn't matter which one of the four you stand in front of, the four is all the Fab Four. So you can stand in front of any one of the four and get prayer for, because it's not about the person praying for you. It's about the God you're leaning into. It's about the God you're looking for. It's about the Holy Spirit in terms of where you're at, what your need is today. And when you come with a heart that, like, only you know your need. We don't need to know your need. Only you know your need and what you want to stand before God for today. And you might come with your partner. You might come by yourself. You might come with your family. However you come is fine. But come with an open heart that says, God, please, I just need you today. I need you for this year. I need you for this fresh challenge that is in my world today. And I don't want to do this alone. I don't want to do this in my own strength. I want to do this knowing I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this today. So before we pray for people that are in the room today, we're going to take a moment to pray for all those that are online, joining us online today, because straight after I prayed for everybody online, we're going to release the online community that are gathered with us this morning, because we're going to be playing some video music, and we lose our streaming as soon as we do that. And so if you're online with us today, we want to pray for you this morning. And I know we can't literally anoint you with oil, but God can reach where we can't reach. He's unlimited, we're limited, but He's not. And so we're going to take a moment to pray for you today. Pray for your need, pray for your year. Pray for you to be aware you're marked by God, marked for God, and God's plan and purpose. He really wants it to be outworked in your life, and we pray the Holy Spirit would empower you for that purpose today. If you're in the room today, why don't you reach out your hand as we pray for everybody that's online today. Father, we thank you for our online community today. Those that are joining us today that can't be here, either because of distance or stuff that's going on at the moment, we're just praying, God, you'd be with them for this year. We're praying that you would refresh them. Refresh them today is our prayer. Anoint them with the Holy Spirit. May they be aware of the Holy Spirit in them. May they be aware of the Holy Spirit on them. The presence of God empowering them for every challenge that this new season would bring. That greater things would be in the pathway, Lord, for every one of them this year is our prayer collectively for them today. So anoint them today. May they be aware of this, God, of your presence in an increased measure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank our online community for being with us today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you for joining us today.